For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ.
That's better. Afternoon, everyone. Hello, thank you. Thanks for praying for us. I really appreciate that. And I want to let you know that Louise and I have been praying for Crossroads. We pray regularly for you guys, that you would grow in love and faith and in numbers and see God's kingdom grow here. thanks for having me back. Although I will say that if I have to do any more COVID sermons at Crossroads, I'm going to ask to be paid for it. I'll be on the books. And again, as Mike said, your series in Judges is on hold again, but what a great book to be in, and so many great things in Judges. So one more week of kind of putting that on hold, and that'll be back, but not with me, God willing. for now, I want to talk to you about your mission statement. I've heard it a few times recently. Luke spoke it out last week. I've got to be honest, as a pastor, I'm a little jealous of your mission statement. In fact, if I didn't know you guys so well, I would have definitely stolen it for City North. Mine's a bumbling bunch of words. I'll get better at it, right? But this is really good. Saved, growing, and engaged. I think they're three words that you can easily remember as a church. I think they do a good job of summarizing the Christian faith and the way a church wants to be. I think they're really good. Here's what I'm going to do, though. I'm going to ask you to speak to the person next to you. How is Crossroads going with these three words? I want to speak to the person next to you. Look, if you're new here, I don't know who you are. I don't know who's new and who's not for some of you. I do apologize that I'm going to make you talk to someone that you don't know. If you are not the new person and you're speaking to a new person, feel free to talk about other things, okay? But for about 38 seconds, can you please talk with the people next to you? How is Crossroads going with saved, growing, and engaged? Go. Go. Get talking. All right, maybe just wrap that up. I'm looking around, I'm noticing no one's crying just yet, so it's either I didn't give you enough time to cry or we're going okay. I think each one of these words is needed for Crossroads for you to be a healthy church. If people are being saved, they're growing in their faith, but they're not engaged with the world, you might be tempted to become quite insular. If people are engaged and saved, but not growing in their maturity, you're going to become a superficial church, aren't you? And if a church is deepening in the word, working in the world, but not saving the lost, I think that church is doomed to die. And a church that ceases to reach the lost has lost its grip on what God has called them to be. God has called the church to reach out to the lost, saved, growing, engaged. So today, we're in the business of thinking about saving the lost. Save. I'm going to turn that into an adjective, saving. That's what I want to talk about with you this afternoon. I came from Sydney once upon a time, and I was from the Anglican Diocese of Sydney, and in about 1990 or so, it could have been around about that time, the mission statement was put out, and the goal was that the Anglican Church of Sydney would reach 10% of the population in Sydney for Jesus. That the church would have this, the church had this ambitious goal of 10%. And most people went, 10%? That's enormous. That's huge. Because, you know, obviously Sydney is quite a large, largely populated area. But 10% is really not that much when you think about it. I mean, last week I went into hospital, I went and had day surgery, and I had that talk with the anaesthetist who sat me down and said, look, I just need to let you know that from time to time people don't come out of this. It's very rare, right? Now, I knew that. I come from a medical family. It's okay. But can you imagine if he sat down and said, just want to let you know that only one time out of 10 you're going to come out of this alive. I'm not taking that, right? 10% is not great. My beloved football team, the Sydney Swans, bought a man by the name of Buddy Franklin, most people you know. If, in speaking to Buddy Franklin all those years ago, he said, I just want to let you know, I only kick 1 out of 10, right? They're going to say, we'll put our money elsewhere. 10% is not great, but it's something. And it's something that the Diocese of Sydney sought to reach out. I wonder if you have a goal about people that you want to reach at Crossroads. Now, I happen to do a little bit of research for you, and to be fair, this might have already come across your paths through your own team and preaching. I do apologise if this is repetitious to you. But I had a look at your suburb where this church is in, because I know a lot of you live elsewhere, right? But this is North Hobart. That part in the bluish purple is North Hobart. The circle is approximately Tasmar Street, okay, or thereabouts. Now, I don't know if you can see these stats, so I'm going to have to. But there's approximately 2,000 or so people that live in North Hobart. And interestingly, half of them, 50% of them, say that they have no God, no religion, in the most recent census, 2016. The thing about that is half of North Hobart, therefore, say that they do. Have some sort of idea of a God, believe in some sort of God. That's quite a few. Of the people in North Hobart, in this suburb, nearly 50% are couples without children. 72% of them speak English. And they're just some of the stats that make me think that Crossroads is in a good position to be reaching the people of North Hobart, to be reaching out to the people of North Hobart. Now, you might not put a stat on it, 10% of 2,000 is 200, but imagine that. Imagine 200 people where Crossroads faithfully reached out and 200 people heard the message and came and were saved. That would be astounding. I would take that any day of the week. For that to happen, though, we want to focus on what it means that someone is saved. So I'm just, as I said, I'm just focusing on that one word of your mission statement, saved. And when I think of the word saved in the Bible, there's a lot of passages that come to mind, but really Romans is one of the big passages, the big chunks of the Bible that comes to mind. Romans 9 to 11, the word saved comes up time and time and time again. So we're focusing a little bit in on that Romans passage and Romans 10. Have a look at this verse that's on the screen, just as an example. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Crossroads, I know you and I want to see people saved. Well, we're going to have to hear it with their mouths. They need to confess Jesus is Lord, and they're going to believe it in their hearts. Confessing with your mouth, We can make people do that easily. We'll just recite it. Jesus is Lord. Everyone say it. Jesus is Lord. Good. Confessed with your mouth. Done. Tick. All right? They're halfway there. But to have someone believe it in their hearts, I don't know about you, but that's kind of out of our control. The heart is God's work, not ours. Belief, in fact, is a spiritual thing, not something we can force or make happen. In fact, the most compelling talk of the gospel, the most intellectually flawless talk about the gospel, the most entertaining, may not change a single heart. Because God is in the business of changing people's hearts. So what do? We're stuck here. We want to save North Hobart. Maybe 200, maybe 1,000. We want to save them. What do? Well, I think the first thing that we want to talk about, let me just go forward, is to pray. The first thing in reaching the lost at North Hobart is to pray. It's actually the first thing that Paul thinks about in Romans 10:1 too. He's talking about his own brothers, Jewish friends and family of his. He says this. He says, brother, my heart's desire. You see that in Paul? My heart's desire and my prayer to God is that they may be saved. First thing, that heart's desire and prayer that people would be saved. See, Paul has a desire for people to be saved. So what does he do? Well, we know he goes out and preaches the gospel, but he says he prays. Prayer is an outpouring of our heart's desires, isn't it? So the first thing I just want to ask you as a congregation, as a church family, are you praying for the lost souls in North Hobart? Are you praying for them? Because if you're not, it might be that your affections, your heart's desires have been distracted by other things. And no one's saying those other things are unimportant. But my question is, are you praying for the lost? The cool thing about it, I think, about our desires and what we pray for, is sometimes the tail needs to wag the dog, right? Because here's what I mean. Usually we'd say, our desires lead to our prayers, and that's that. But sometimes as we pray deliberately for things, that changes our desires too. In other words, the tail wags the dog. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? So sometimes we need to be a little bit more disciplined. Well, I do, anyway, about it. Sometimes we can ignite our desires for the lost by praying for the lost. Now, here's a couple of simple steps. I was just thinking about it. And you may already do these things. Forgive me if that is the case. But here's a couple of steps. What if you yourself, an individual here, whether you're 10 years old or a little bit older than that, what if you set aside one time in your week to pray for people in North Hobart that don't believe in Jesus and are not saved? Just one moment. And you write it in your calendar or in your school diary and you say, I'm going to pray for this. Because trust me, kids who are in the room, God does not just work through adults. God works through the faithful. And when Jesus says, let the little children come to me, he knows what he is talking about. Sometimes us adults need to look upon children and go, I need to have faith like that. So kids who are in the room, teens in the room, you too, set aside. What if you set aside a moment to pray for people who do not believe in Jesus? It's a simple thing. Or maybe you have a small group, like a Bible study group, a midweek group. What if every term, your group devotes 1 week to praying for the lost in your area, bringing names of people you know who don't follow Jesus and are not saved, and bringing them to the group for prayer, not as a gossip session, but as to pray for them. It's a simple step. And what about this? What if at 3:30 p.m. on a Sunday, a group of you got together and just met in one of the rooms, and you devoted time to pray for this church service, for the people in this service, and for people who are not yet in this service and belonging to this community, and just spent 15 minutes praying for them. Prayer does not change people's hearts, but we pray to a God who does. Let's pray for the lost. That's the first thing. I don't know if this one comes up. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as it had happened among you. That's the prayer, isn't it? The word of God would be honored among all the people of North Hobart. So going back to that Romans passage, in order to be saved, hearts must believe and mouths must confess. And so we pray. But there is more to it, isn't there? And Paul says in verse 7, if you have a look with me at chapter 10, Romans 10 verse 7, Paul says this. He says, hopefully, how are they to believe in him who they've never heard of? It makes a lot of sense. We're calling on people to believe in Jesus. What if they've never heard of him? How can they believe in someone they've never heard? And how are they going to hear it if no one preaches it? It's kind of simple logic, isn't it? It's a simple thing, but actually it's impossible to believe in something you've never heard of. Now, occasionally, we hear of people coming to faith in Christ and being saved through visions and dreams. I've heard of people like that. You may have as well. Where Jesus directly intervened into their life without the voice being preached, without the word being preached. But generally, the primary way that God speaks of his salvation is through the preaching of it, through the gospel message. The primary way people hear about Jesus, and actually the way Paul expects it to happen in this church, is through the preaching of the word. Someone needs to preach it. So people who are yet to believe must first hear what it is that they need to believe in. Now here, I don't think this word preach has to be the formal sermon on the Sunday. I think the word that Paul uses can have that formal sense. But it can be something else as well. Well, actually, let me just stop. This is actually not a bad place for people to hear the word of God preached to them on a Sunday at 4 p.m. or 4:30 p.m. Churches are a great place. Over at City North Church, we made a decision at the very beginning that we would aim as best we can to make the Sunday morning service as accessible to a person that has never walked into a church before. Because church, walking into church, if you don't remember it yourself for the first time, it's a really unusual experience, right? So people who don't normally come find it a bit weird. So we made a decision that we try and make everything as much as we can as clear for a person who's never heard about it before. We've still got a way to go with that. Sometimes we get into that Christian jargon and we fall into it a bit, and you know, we've got to keep always getting better at that. But I want the sermons preached on Sunday in such a way that if a person comes in for one time, they might hear about a Jesus that can save them. So church can be a great place to hear the word of God preached. And by the way, if that is happening, isn't that the place that you might be able to bring your friends to? You go, come and check out church, because you're confident that when they come, they're going to hear the word of God and they're going to have an opportunity to be saved. That's an excellent thing to happen when it's preached clearly like that from the front. But that's not the only way to hear the word preached. There are things that you can do. There are courses that you could run. Can you put your hand up if you've seen or been part of an Alpha group before? 1, 2, 3. Yep. Christianity Explored. Yep. Wilbur's own course that he runs. No, okay. That's coming. That was a prophetic word, Wilbur. The idea behind these groups is you get together with a group of people, usually with a meal, because like talking and eating is like a great thing to be chatting, and it just relaxes things. And then you have a dialogue or discussion over something that's been preached. I remember a time when a group finished the Christianity Explored program. It's 8 weeks long, I think. and every single one of them stayed for the entire 8 weeks. When we finished, the question was asked to this group, so does anyone want to give their lives to Jesus? And of the six people, not one of them put their hand up. And I remember the leader of the group was like, and the leader said, she said, would anyone like to continue meeting together Thursday, 7 o'clock for a meal and chatting over the Bible? All of them put their hand up. And one of them said, is there another group you've got? Another program you've got? She said, yes. It's called What Does the Bible Say? And it runs for 32 weeks. Anyone interested? They all put their hand up, right? What does the Bible say? She was just going to meet week to week, reading the Bible and talking about it with them, right? That group met for 32 weeks. Not only that, but they turned into one of the church's midweek group Bible study groups. One of them became a Christian. Three or four of them are still just wondering. This is 3, 4, 5 years down the track. But one of them now, a follower of Jesus, and has devoted his life in incredible ways. His life's had a transformation. His family is coming to faith. You know, that wasn't through necessarily the Sunday preaching of the word, but this group that met together with the word being explained over a meal. People need to hear about Jesus in order to believe in Jesus. The challenge is, I guess, can we be bothered? Is it worth it? The other challenge is, what if we're afraid that we'll get that question that we can't answer and the antagonism that comes our way when we put forward these faith, belief in Jesus? I think they're tricky things you need to think through, but people cannot believe unless they hear the word preached. And then the final thing is this, Romans 10 verse 5, how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How can they believe unless they hear? How can they hear unless it's preached? How can anyone preach unless the church sends them? Unless there's an attitude in the church of, we want this to happen. I love that bit, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We know that's an Old Testament quote, but I just love it. It shows God's heart in evangelism, doesn't it? How beautiful are the feet that bring good news. You know, in war, the word gospel was used when messengers were sent out, in first century wars, I mean, when the news had to get out that the war had finished and the battle was won. And these messengers would go out with the gospel. The gospel is the good news that the war is finished. And they were sent out to tell the troops the battle is over. And there was cheering and rejoicing. How beautiful were those feet to the soldiers who were told, the risk of your life is now over. The victory is done. And that sentence, that sense is used here. How beautiful are the feet that bring good news. I'm wondering if you remember the person that brought the good news to you the first time. Now, I would love to hear a story, but the only thing is, I don't think this mic travels, so that probably won't work, particularly for people online. But just at least show your hands. Can anyone remember the first time they heard the good news of Jesus and believed it? Does anyone remember it? Yeah, 2, 3, yep. 4, sorry, there's a few hands. There are a few hands, good. Yeah, I would have loved to have heard your stories. What was it like? Who was that person? For me, I had a Christian family. I am so thankful to God for my mum and dad because they raised me in a family that kind of at least had Christianity at the table in our lives. It was there. But I specifically remember a man who took me under his wing. He was a few years older than me. And he was a Christian and he could see that I needed to grow in my faith. And he just shared my life and his life with him. And my faith really grew in those few years that I was with him. I'm so thankful. He was the one that really explained the gospel to me. I'm so thankful of my family and that man in my life. When you bring the good news, or when you send people out with the good news, you have to remember this is a good thing. God loves it. How beautiful are the feet. And would you agree that some people are just better at it than others? You just look around and you go, some people are just better at this gospel preaching thing than others. I think there are. Some people just seem to be in those God talking about conversations all the time. Next thing you know, you always hear that. They're always having coffee with someone talking about Jesus. You know those people? We might call those people perhaps with the gift of evangelism. Capital E evangelists, maybe. I don't know. I kind of get squirmy about using that label, though, because that may be true. I don't know who has the capital E evangelism gift or not. They don't have a sign on their forehead. But I know people who work really, really hard at it. But I'm confident of this. If there are people who are good at it in your community, in your church community, champion them, encourage them, pray for them, and send them out and keep asking them, how's it going with that person that you were talking to? Champion these people, send them out so they know that Crossroads is behind them as they preach the gospel to the lost in their life and in North Hobart. Champion them. And then when they come back, welcome them back in home. Not as heroes, but as people that you're sending out to reach people with the gift of the gospel. But can I say this? You have beautiful feet too. I am talking about how beautiful are the feet that bring good news, right? So it's not a capital E person's job that we just send people out. It's everybody's job. It's the job of a disciple to go and make disciples. It's everyone's job. Some of us are better than others. Some of us just feel really bad at it. But it's part of our discipleship calling, right? We can all play a part. Now, if you're saying, yeah, I wouldn't mind it, but I am not skilled up enough. I could not talk to people about Jesus yet. There are people in your church community that have been doing this for their job. And again, at Wilbur, I just want to encourage, if you don't know how to share the gospel with people in your community, in your life, speak to Wilbur, because Wilbur, he knows what's going on about it. He works for City Bible Forum, and he'll have little tips and suggestions, because they've thought about a lot about how to bring the gospel to people. In December, City North Church went out to Glenorchy Community. We were hanging out at Northgate, handing out some bags, and two of your church members came along. We're very grateful to have the Crossroads kind of support along. Two of them came along and just saw what was going on, handed out a few things, chatted to a few people. On the day that both those people were there, and who knows who spoke to them, I don't know, a family walked past and stopped and said, "You're doing what?" And whoever was talking said, "We've got a church in Glenorchy. It's called City North Church. We've got a gift bag we'd like to hand to you." And they said, "That's the oddest thing. We were talking about going to church just today." They came that Sunday. They've come every Sunday since. And I've got to tell you now that 2 weeks ago, the husband gave his life to the Lord and is getting baptized in 2 weeks. It's phenomenal. Thank you for clapping. I think it's an amazing story. But we didn't know who was going to come. We were just out there with the good news. That family has come from a crazy situation, but God is going to work in their lives. It's one of the greatest things. So, church, be a church that is sending out and is going out with the good news, with beautiful feet. But I want to finish with this. Remember this. We can never forget this last thing. The passage in Romans ends on a sad reality for the Jews of Paul's day. Because though we might bring the good news and our feet might go out and pound the pavement, and some may come and believe, many will not. Of Israel, God said, "All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." We need to remember that we can only do the job that God has given us, but we don't have the job of changing hearts. So we end where we began. That belief is a heart issue, which is out of our control. A church can only be faithful in what God and Christ has called us to do. So let's not become overly disheartened when things don't go the way that we were hoping. I think too many of us give in and throw the towel in way too early. I had 3 really bad months at the end of last year, personally, in my ministry. Some people who we were connecting within the community, just stop coming to church, and even the meals that we were putting on for people in Glenorchy, they just stopped altogether. I came really discouraged. I began doubting whether someone like me was cut out to do ministry in Glenorchy. I was really questioning all of those things. But just last week, we got a phone call from one of these people. And she's desperate to come back and talk faith. She came over and Lou and I chatted with her over the week. And through nothing that we've done, her faith has just come alive. It's unbelievable. She was back to church this morning. Now, whether or not it's a small thing and, you know, it could be an up and down thing for her, I was just reminded that it's an unfinished story for her. And you don't know when you share the gospel what's happening in the life of that person. You just don't know. So we don't, like me, you know, let's not get too disheartened too quickly and give up on this whole sending the message. No one listens anyway. Because ultimately, rejection comes from the heart and we can't change hearts. So there are just four words, I think it was. Pray. Preach. Send. And remember. Let me pray to close. Dear God, thank you for your word given to us. I thank you for the great joy and encouragement it is to come to Crossroads with such uplifting music and encouraging words and prayer. Lord, I pray that as Crossroads continue in their work of saving and growing and engaging, that many in North Hobart would be saved. I pray for the team, particularly the elders, as they seek to put systems in place for this to happen. And I pray that Crossroads will be a community open, loving, and welcoming of the new person. Lord, may your gospel save many lives. In Jesus' name, amen.